Psalm 15, verses 1 to 5.
Lord, who may dwell in your sanctuary? Who may live on your holy hill? He whose walk is blameless and who does what is righteous, who speaks the truth from his heart and has no slander on his tongue, who does his neighbour no wrong and casts no slur on his fellow man, who despises a vile man but honours those who fear the Lord, who keeps his oath even when it hurts, who lends his money without usury and does not accept a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things will never be shaken.
Let's pray. Father God, we pray that you would guide us this morning as we spend time in Psalm 15. Lord, convict our hearts of the times when we have not lived up to the hope we have in Christ Jesus. Challenge us this morning to reflect on who you are and who it is that we're coming into the presence of this morning. Help us to understand or at least grasp even the tiniest glimpse of your glory this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. How serious do we take the holiness of God? Many of you might be familiar with R.C. Sproul. R.C. Sproul once wrote these words: "Only once in sacred scripture is an attribute of God elevated to the third degree. Only once is a characteristic of God mentioned three times in succession. The Bible says that God is holy, holy, holy. Not merely holy, not holy, holy. He is holy, holy, holy. The Bible never says that God is love, 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 or mercy, 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 or wrath, 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 or justice, justice, justice. It does say that he is holy, 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 that the whole earth is full of his glory." When the scriptures speak of God's holiness, they speak of his complete moral purity. He is all good and right, all the time, and in every single way possible. He is the only one who is perfectly holy. 1 Samuel 2:2 declares, "There is no one like you, Lord. There is no one beside you. There is no rock like our God." This is the same God who declares to those who trust in him that we are to be holy as he is holy. How seriously do we take the holiness of God? One of the dangers, I think, for those of us who are new covenant believers is that we can so easily default to the fact that we are saved by grace and excuse ourselves from having to take God's holiness very, very seriously. We can so easily jump to Hebrews 4, where it says that we're able to approach the throne of grace with confidence. But if we haven't grasped the seriousness and significance of entering the holy, holy, holy God's presence, then we've lost sight of how amazing God's grace really is. That we are so unworthy to enter his presence, are even able to approach him with confidence, not because of anything we have done, but because of what God has done through Christ Jesus. In the passage we're looking at this morning, the psalmist is asking this question: who is it who is able to dwell in God's presence? Who is it that's holy enough to be able to stand in the presence of the Lord without being consumed by the guilt of their sin before a holy God? And so as Psalm 15 is challenging us to reflect on how seriously we take God's holiness, Let us check our hearts. Let us discern where we are at this morning. The historical context of Psalms is often very hard to pin down. But it's thought that David wrote this psalm, Psalm 15, around the same time that the Ark of the Covenant was brought into the tabernacle, or the tent of the Lord in Jerusalem. At that time in history, the Ark was the symbol of God's presence here on earth. And the words of this psalm are encouraging those who would enter God's presence, who would come before that Ark, to take God's holiness very, very seriously. These words are a warning, not a list of things that we can tick off and make sure that we've done before we enter God's presence. These words are reminding us that no one, apart from the Son of God himself, is worthy to enter God's presence. If we're tempted to think that we've achieved these things and served like this, then we've missed the point of this psalm. And that's why the psalmist is measuring our ability to enter God's presence against our relationship with him and with our neighbor. Many of you are familiar with Mark 12. There, Jesus gives us a very similar standard of God's holiness. One of the teachers of the law had asked Jesus, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" And Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself." It is important to aspire to love our God with all of our heart. It's important to aspire to love our neighbor as ourselves. These are the two most important commandments after all. But if we think we are doing these things, if we think that we are loving the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, then we haven't grasped God's holiness or his perfect standards. Psalmist says that in order to be worthy to enter God's presence, our walk with him must be blameless. In other words, without fault in absolutely every way, including when no one else knows what we are doing, even our most hidden deed, thought, or action. Verse 2 tells us that the one who is able to stand in God's presence does what is righteous. His actions are in line with God's word and God's will for his life all the time, no matter where he is, no matter what he is doing. He speaks only truth from his heart. No deceit, no envy, no selfishness, or evil intent are found even in his most inner being. That's what the Lord requires when he commands us to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength. The psalmist is saying is that no one who loves the Lord less than this qualifies to dwell in the presence of the Lord. We're meant to be crushed by the weight of these words as we hear them. We're meant to see that we are not holy enough to enter the presence of our holy, holy God. These words are meant to show us that we cannot be good enough in our own strength. As much as we would love to, we cannot love the Lord as much as he deserves. Our sinful desires are constantly drawing us away from loving him with our whole heart. Our heart's desires, well, it desires pleasure, security, and power. We get caught up in our work, our projects, and our families, and even our dreams. And we so often love things more than we love the Lord. And so we fail time and time again to love the Lord our God with our whole heart. But the psalmist doesn't finish with our relationship with the Lord. He then moves to our relationship with our neighbor. The psalmist says that the one who is able to stand in the presence of the Lord has no slander on his tongue, who does his neighbor no wrong and casts no slur on his fellow man. He speaks the truth in love, correcting when correction needs to be made, but avoids gossip and exaggeration and putting others down to make himself feel better. He treats his neighbor the way that he would want to be treated, not talking behind his back, but addressing them directly if there's something that needs to be worked out. By doing this, he loves his neighbor as himself. Sadly, if we're honest, there have been times when we have all done our neighbor wrong, when we have all failed to love our neighbors as ourselves. Verse 4 says, "The one who is able to stand in the presence of the Lord despises a vile man, but honors those who fear the Lord, and he keeps his oath, even when it hurts." Now, despising a vile man, well, that doesn't sound very much like loving our neighbor, does it? But when the psalmist speaks about despising a vile man, he isn't speaking about hating that person, but rather their words and their deeds. He's talking about despising them, the things about them that are keeping them from a relationship with the Lord. He's speaking about honoring those who have served the Lord faithfully, those who have godly attributes, those who fear the Lord. This person keeps his promise, even when it's costly, even when it hurts, even when the cost is higher than he expected. Just as God's word is always kept, just as God's word never fails, neither does the word of the one who is able to stand in God's presence. And he lends his money without usury and does not accept a bribe against the innocent. Now, usury is charging an exorbitant amount of interest on a loan to somebody. One who is able to stand in the presence of the Lord doesn't charge interest to those who need his help. And his sense of justice is not able to be bought, not even at a price, because he loves the Lord and his neighbor more than he loves money. The attributes that Psalm 15 describes of the one who is able to dwell in the presence of the Lord are aspirational. As those who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for our salvation, these are attributes that we should aspire to obtain. As we trust Jesus to grow us in godliness. The reality is we have all failed God's standards of holiness. And the psalmist himself knows this. That's why he wrote in Psalm 14 that all have turned aside. They have together become corrupt. There is no one who does good, not even one. The question of Psalm 15 is, who is able to stand in the presence of the Lord? Sadly, the answer is none of us qualify, at least not in our own strength. All of us have failed to live up to what God requires of those who are able to dwell in the presence of their Lord, of the Lord, in their own strength. Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. For in his great mercy, He has made a way. Christ Jesus is the only one who is able to stand in the presence of the Lord on the basis of what he has done. He is the one who fulfills the words of this psalm. He is the one who will never be shaken. Jesus lived the perfectly sinless life that we could never live, not just on the outside, but in his heart, all the time, in every way possible. He was the only one who has ever loved the Lord his God with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength. When he willingly took the judgment we deserve on himself, dying on the cross for us, he paid the debt that our sins incurred. And as Jesus died that day, the curtain in the temple of the Lord, the curtain that separated people from the presence of God, was torn from top to bottom. The Lord did that to symbolize that those who trust in Jesus, those who trust in his Son, the one who is able to stand in his presence, are no longer separated from God. We are no longer the ones who are unable to stand in God's presence. Through the death and resurrection of Jesus, we have become the ones who are able to dwell in the presence of the Lord. It's not because God's standards have been lowered. It's not because he is any less holy. He hasn't dropped his standards to let us in. Through faith in Jesus, we have been made holy. We are new creations. Because of Jesus, we are finally able to do what we were created for. That is, spend eternity in the presence of our Creator. This morning we've been reminded that we cannot measure up to God's standard of holiness. He is entirely morally pure, only good all the time and in every possible way. And we are not. We have all failed to live up to God's standard of holiness. We are all guilty and deserving of his judgment. But through the mercy of Christ Jesus, we are able to dwell in the presence of our Saviour and be reassured that we will never be shaken, because our Saviour will never be shaken. So as those who have received such a great hope as this, let us approach the throne of grace with confidence, not forgetting how much we've been forgiven, rejoicing in how much our Saviour loves us, and aspiring to be holy as he is holy, so that we might honour the one who has saved us. Let's pray. Father God, we confess that we have all sinned and fallen short of your glory. We confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart, mind, strength, and soul. Lord, we confess that we have not loved our neighbor as ourselves. But Lord, we give you thanks this morning that through Christ Jesus you have for us. Lord, we pray that through the work of your Holy Spirit, you would continue to make us more and more like Christ Jesus, that you would help us to aspire to be like Christ Jesus, honoring the sacrifice that he made for us. Lord, we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.